As we begin tonight, Perek Yud Gimel, and learn Yirmiyah's message to Klal Yisrael. Koyomar Hashem Elai. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives Yirmiyah a three-pronged, three-step nevuah. Three steps to carry out certain actions which are a mashal to Klal Yisrael. First nevuah. Koyomar Hashem Elai Holech Bekonisa Lecha Ezer Pishtin V'samtai Almosnecha. Go purchase for yourself a linen belt, a linen girdle, and wear it not over your jacket, not over your robe, but wear it against your skin, almosnecha, uvamayim loisiviyeyu. And you are not to wash this girdle. You're not to wash this belt. Wear it day after day. That's nevuah number one. Naturally, Yirmiyah does what he's told. He wears the belt. Second nevuah. After Yirmiyah has been wearing this belt, this cloth belt, against his skin for an extended period, and it's become dirty, it's become sweaty, it's become soiled, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, now take the belt, Asher Kanisa Asher Almasnecha V'kumlech Parasa. Travel to the Euphrates. Travel north from Yerushalayim through all of Eretz Yisrael. All the way up. V'tamneu Sham Midikik HaSala. And hide it there in a cleft of the rocks at the banks of the Euphrates. Interesting tzavo. Take this dirty belt, the soiled belt, and travel with it. The Mefarshim explain that when Yirmiyah traveled, it made headlines. Yirmiyah the Navi is now going on a trip from Yerushalayim up past the Galil, past Rosh HaNikra, all the way up the Euphrates, is in northern Syria, the border of biblical Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, this mezapirsum, this was well known what was taking place, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told him this. And he went, and step two, he hid this belt, b'nikik hasala, in the cleft of the rock. V'eilech v'etmineu b'pras kashetziva Hashem ha'isi. Step three, Vayehi miketz yomim rabin. Many days later, Vayomer Hashem Elai kumlech parasa. Now Yirmiyah went back down to Yerushalayim. Hashem says, okay, here we go again. Go back to the Euphrates. V'kach misham esayezer shev tzivisicha letam leisham. And recover the belt, the dirty belt that you had hid there. Va'elech pirasa va'echbar va'ekach esayzer min amokayim asher tamantim shama. I went and I uncovered this belt from the place I had hid, in which it had been hidden. V'inei nishchas ha'ezer le'yitzlach la'kayel. Since this belt had been soiled, had been sweaty, and it was put there in a place where it's very moist, it fell apart. It was no longer usable. End of mashal. These are the three steps. Buy the belt and wear it till it becomes sweated. Hide it. And then go and recover it. And look. Look what there is. Vayhi dvar Hashem elai lemar koyamar Hashem kocha ashchis esgan Yehuda veskin Yerushalayim harav. This belt is a mashal to the Jews, to the Jewish people. And just as this belt fell apart because it was not cleaned, so too, B'nai Yisrael, if Klal Yisrael doesn't clean up their act, so to speak, if Klal Yisrael is not chayzer b'tshuva, they're going to fall apart. There'll be destruction. This is Yirmiyah's mashal. As we've done in the past, and we will continue to do throughout Yirmiyah, we will learn the simple mashal. And beyond that, the chizuk that's in every one of the divrei techacha of Yirmiyah. And here, the mashal is easy, and the chizuk is something which we are going to learn tonight, which hopefully we can take with us as we begin to implement a year in which hopefully we have aliyah based on the Yomim Noiraim which have just passed. What is the simple message? Buy and wear the gartel. And when it falls apart, that's a mashal that Klal Yisrael has to do tshuva. That is certainly the main message of the Nevuah. But there's a deeper message of chizuk. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael, if the belt gets dirty, it gets soiled, and the dirt, the soiling, the sweat, the sweatiness, these are all averis. These are all mishalim to sin, to chatoim. Says Hashem, it's okay. The belt can get dirty. It can get sweaty. The belt could be filthy. It could be malei chatoim. As long as you do something to clean it up, I have no complaint. You won't fall apart. The problem is not the dirty laundry. It's okay to have dirty laundry. But you have to go and clean your dirty laundry. The message of chizuk is that the aveira is not the problem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects that people are imperfect. The problem is the failure to clean it. This nevuah brings to mind an incident that happened to me when I was a counselor in camp. And I had a camper who was very mafuniki about changing clothing. He was very reluctant to change his clothing, as far as I could see. It took a while, but after a while you notice. And I had to push him to change his clothing. It was very, very strange. He was pretty normal, but this was the one mishigas he had. And I had to push him to change, and I pushed him. And he was very ashamed of having dirty laundry. I still remember visiting day. Visiting day, his mother came into the bunk, and he slept. We had bunk beds. He was in the top bed. His mother knew her son. She walks in. She says, which is my son's bed? I show, made very nicely and neatly. She walks right over to the bed, sticks her arm under the covers deep inside, and pulls out 2 weeks of dirty underwear and dirty socks and dirty shirts. She says, what's this? I tell her, it's not mine. What do you mean? Her son was ashamed to show people that he had dirty laundry. And he stuffed it under his bed, and he wanted to make his clothing last, so he didn't change too often. We all understand that's foolish. Of course you have dirty laundry. Dirty laundry is only a problem if you don't clean it. Zot Yirmiyah, the same message. Chatoim are a problem only if you don't clean it. It's not the chatoim itself. And as I hope to show you tonight, that's not at all a simple message. Tonight's shiur is based on letters of the Stipler. The Stipler, from his own Dalet Amos and B'nai Brak, understood the world. If you don't know what it means, that Adam Arishin saw Meisaifa Olam Ad Saifa, you read the Stipler's letters, how he understood people. And the Stipler's letters, specifically on Chizuk, are very powerful and very to the point. A great group of letters are letters that were written to Dr. Yaakov Greenwald of Muncie, who is himself a Talmud Chacham and a psychologist, who wrote to the Stipler asking for guidance in how to deal with people. And later he printed a sefer entitled Eitzos V'Hadrachos Miyusar Al Michtevei Baal Kehilas Yaakov. Eitzos, advice, based on letters I received from the Stipler. And in this beautiful sefer, he touches on many of the problems that people have today in Avodas Hashem, based on the three problems: yiyush, feelings of guilt, feelings of depression. Those three feelings which somehow go together sometimes, sometimes separate. And the stipler's great insight, great insights into how to deal with it. Many of these letters have been reprinted in the Krina d'Igrisa, but basically I'll quote them from the pages that they appear here in the Sefer Eitzais V'Hadrachis. Let's divide the lesson of the dirty laundry into three parts. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes in three steps of Nevuah, that Abarbanel writes, that each of these three Nevuahs has its own lesson. One, by, wear, and allow to become soiled and sweaty, a gargle. Two, show it off, travel to the pras, show it to Klal Yisrael. And three, look at what happens when you don't clean it. Number one, having a dirty gartel. Zot Yirmiya to Klal Yisrael. It's normal. It's normal. A human being lives, he has chatoim. Is there something unusual about that? That's not the problem. Many people feel that when they have chatoim, they're miyayesh. They feel, what's the use? What's the purpose? And because of that, it gets worse. I've heard many mechanchim tell that if you had a nisayon, must be that you have the power to overcome it. And I've heard this said to many, many people, that if you, Hashem tested you, must be you could overcome it. And we've seen in the past that it's not so. Reb Tzadik writes in Tzidkas HaTzadik, Mem Gimel, Pa'amim yesh adam oimeid b'nisayin gadol kolkach ad she'i efshir lo shelo yechta. There are times that people are faced with a test in doing a mitzvah or an aveira, so much so that they can't resist sinning. It's impossible. Kederech sha'amru, as Chazal have said, mayase adam, mayase haben v'lo yechta. So Reb Tzadik, ubizehu nechshav oynis gomor, the Rachmana Patre. There are situations in which a person is not a Baal Bechira. There are situations in which a person will not succeed, and he has no choice. And if he feels guilty because of his not succeeding, he'll be yored l'timayin. Now, of course, we don't know in which tests we are a Baal Bechira. And l'chatchila, we have to fight each test. However, after a person has faced the nisayon, there are times that a person is truly not a Baal Bechira. To quote from the stipler is writing to someone who has machshavas, thoughts that are inappropriate, machshavas of kafira. He writes to him, La'es ata einoi Baal Bechira bepratzeh. You're not going to be punished for these thoughts. You're not a Baal Bechira. You have no choice. What are you a Baal Bechira about? To try to do things that over time will help you. As we'll see later what the stipler's advice is. But there are times that you're not a Baal Bechira. One would think that this message was driven home to the stipler by an incident that's reported here in a letter of his on page Nun Beis. The incident occurred with a young man who came to the stipler. And as the stipler writes, he's a Baal Kishra Yaisa Meharogil, he's a Ben Taira with good Kishrainais. But he has a lot of yisurim because every time he's nervous about a mitzvah, he makes a neder, a shvuah that he's going to do this or do that. He promises. And he can't control himself. He makes the nedarim. And then later, he's faced with having made a neder. What should he do? So the stipler writes, it's a halachic shaila. A man comes to him, he made a neder to do certain things or not do certain things. So he writes, I sent him to the briskerov. The briskerov was alive. Yo'atzti, I gave him an etzta, sheyisha l'goin moron harav mebrisk. Veheshiv loy ha'goin hanal. So the briskerov answered him, shaloi chal, loy neder, v'loy shavua, ki loy nase bedas. When you can't control yourself, it's not a neder. It's not something you made by choice. And the stipler writes that it's vaday emes lahalacha. A person who can't control himself. Zot the stipler in explanation of the briskerov. Hein begeder anusim. She'einam yechaylin lishmait al atzman klal. When people are nervous about things, they're onus. If you're doing something, and you know full well that you're going to regret it later, it's going to cause you pain later, you will wish you didn't do it. So he says in such a case, ein bahem amish loy b'nidreyem b'shvoyeyem. There's no mamashis, there's no effect to what they promised. The stipler in the other letters extends this to people who have problems with nervousness in other areas of Avodas Hashem to say that a person is not always a Baal Bechira. The Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yehuda Zev Segal, in his Haskava to this Sefer, says that this message is already written by the Bnei Yisoschar. In his Sefer Derech Pikudecha, and he quotes it in page Yud of the Sefer. Da Yedidi, Ki Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba B'Trunya in Bri Yisof. Zok the Bnei Yisoschar. You should know Hashem doesn't come with unfair accusations against people. V'chashil chalila lachshev ala boiri yisbarach, shiachshev loy la'oven, masha noifel b'machshavtoi b'pesa pisai. Thoughts that come into a person's mind suddenly, whatever they may be, sadly, we have many people who feel guilty about thoughts they have, who are miyayish because of thoughts that cross their mind, and it doesn't allow them to serve Hashem properly. Now, I once saw in an article on dieting. It was an article on dieting, and it had a small blurb, the main point of the article. It said, what ruins a diet is not the first cookie that you eat. It's after you eat the first cookie, and you give up on the whole diet, and you eat the rest of the box. That's what ruins the diet. But if you can eat that first cookie and be a gibar and not be miyayish, different story. That's the lesson. You can have problems. You can have things that shouldn't be so. You can have dirty laundry. Just work on it. What has it got to do with all of us? Every year, I talk about making kabbalos on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We all talk about it. This year, Rabbi Friend, when he spoke here during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, spoke very strongly about people that give up on the kabbalos they make. He spoke about gevura, being strong and sticking with a kabbalah. What happens to a kabbalah? You make a kabbalah. And then, it's the day after Yom Kippur. And let's say you made a kabbalah, that this year you're going to have kavana, let's just say in the bracha of Maidin. That was your kabbalah, you have what to thank Hashem for. You're going to have kavana in Maidim. And bang, it's the day after Yom Kippur. And not only you don't remember, but you don't even remember that you made the kabbalah even after you finished Mein Asra. And the second day, the third day, suddenly, it's already 3 days after you say, hey, You know, I made that kabbalah about Maidim. Was that this year? Or last? Yeah, it was just 3 days ago. I was so serious. And not only I didn't remember, but I didn't even remember that I forgot. People give up. The miyayish. That's exactly what happens. And for some people, Sukkot passes, and Simchas Torah passes, and it comes a Matzah Shabbos, and they hear a shir, and they remember, hey, I made a Kabbalah this year too. I forgot all about it. It's okay. The problem is not the first cookie. The problem is not the times that you first forget. The problem is when after you forget, you give up. That's where the problem is. Gevura, to stick with Kabbalah, what's Gevura? Gevura is that when you're knocked down, you stand up. That's Gevura. Do you think you're a Baal Bechira? You're a Mekabel to have Kavana in Maidim. The last 25 years, you didn't have Kavana in Maidim. And because this year you decided you're going to make a Kabbalah, you're a Baal Bechira to suddenly have Kavana every time? Every day? It's ridiculous. You're not a Baal Bechira on that. Einis Rachmana Patra. What are you a Baal Bechira for, Zok the Stipler? Umashe v'yada yubu b'chire lasais hum tikunim hamayalim b'meshech hazman. Do something about it. Let it get better over time. Yeah. Let it get better over time. Put a paper clip in the siddur on the page of Maidim. Maybe it'll remind you once in a while. Slowly, slowly it gets better. Don't be miayish. That is the lesson of the sweaty gartel. The lesson of the sweaty gartel is, it's fine. Your gartel could get sweaty. It could be on Kippur. You decided, I'm going to do it. You had a shiny new Kabbalah, all ready to go. It's going to be a great year. And here you are 2 weeks later, and it's not clean. It's soiled. It's fine. It's fine. Do something about it. The second factor has to do with Yirmiyah's second step. Traveling and showing this to people. Showing his lesson all over the place. And there's a great lesson in this too. But listen carefully. Because you have to understand there's a tool of the Yetzirah which we call guilt. Guilt. Feeling guilty. Dr. Greenwald calls it Rigshei Ashama. Feelings of guilt. The Yetzirah loves to make people feel guilty. However, to what point do you feel guilty about an Aveira you did? How guilty do you feel? I'll tell you a secret. You only feel as guilty as you think your friends around you are better than you. To the extent that you might fail in Avodas Hashem, and you see that your chaverim have the same weakness, there is no guilt. There is no pain. There is no tsar. And the best mashal to this is not having kavana in davening. Now I could show you chazals that say, if you don't have kavana in davening, it's a terrible aveira. At least the first bracha of davening, maybe the whole Shemini Esrei is brachas levatala, if you don't have kavana, it's a terrible aveira. And yet, I've had people who are depressed over many aveiras, but I've never really had people that feel so guilty about not having kavana. So I was wondering why. And I realized, you know, Rav Palm in his Shmuzim used to mention a Yerushalmi. And I love to hear him say this. Even though I had heard it already, I love to hear him repeat it. Yerushalmi says, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel, first generation Amayra. Shmuel said, I thank my head that when I get to Maidim and I'm daydreaming, it's amazing, you know, you still bow down. Like a miracle, no? My mind, you bow down, you're dreaming about everything else. Shul says, I bang my head, it bows down when I get to Maid. And Rav Pam said it, I felt so good, because you think, you know, me, you know, Shmuel? Now Shmuel, the major Gosai, I don't know, the godless of Shmuel, I don't know. But when Shmuel would say, I thank my head for bowing, so I feel good. It's an amazing thing. I don't know why he didn't thank his fist by Slachlanu, you know, it claps. It's an amazing thing. Friday night, it saves so many people. They start davening, and they forget to daven the Shabbos to Kishmeina Esrei. They go into Hatochainain and Hashideinu, they're still thinking of a business, and they get to Slachlanu, they clap, and they wake up! And you know, after they clap once or twice, you see, they start scratching themselves. In case anybody's looking, you know, you... Now, you thought you're the only one who does that. But you see, everyone knows what I'm talking about. You're not the only one. You don't feel so guilty. You know, sometimes you step out of Shemayin Esrei, so someone's in back of you, you don't want to step out, you don't want to share his kavana. So, you know, sometimes I'm ready to step out, I look behind me, there's a guy, you know, he's looking all over the place, but his lips are moving, you know, and he's looking all over the base medrash. I'm not worried about sharing his kavana, maybe I'll wake him up, you know. But it makes you feel better. So it's an amazing thing that guilt really is related to how much you think you should be perfect. Now, if you think you should be perfect, you feel terribly guilty. If you realize you don't have to be, you don't feel as guilty. And therefore, guilt that prevents people from serving Hashem is most pronounced in private types of Averis. Personal types of Averis. Personal chatoim. Averis that are usually not spoken about much. Averis of being pagan ba'is bris kodesh. Averis that are very personal and private. And when people are involved in these types of Averis, they think that they're the only one. And they feel guilty. And it drives people to timoim. I once heard from an experienced mechanech. He said that he is chayshesh in his experience with young adolescents, that the thing that first drives them away are guilt feelings over these types of personal averis that nobody else knows about, that are just personal between the person and his own guf. The Stipler writes about this as well. As a matter of fact, in the Perek, Rikshei Ashama, guilt feelings, is devoted mostly to this topic. And if I can quote part of it, it's page Peizayin and Peiches. The Shloah HaKadosh, the Shloah, Eilu Chasidim HaMachmirin Loimer Ein Tikun L'Chait Zeh Rachmanu Litzlan. There are some Chasidim who say that there are certain personal averis, ain't tikkun l'cheitzeh. It's the most terrible avera. Kasha shamati mipiem, like we've heard, and even today we've heard mechanchim who talk this way. Heim marbim poishim bi Yisrael, umirachim elavoi tachas kanfei hashchina. They think they're doing the right thing, it's just the opposite. They're pushing people away, making people, many of whom, and not even Balei Bechira on these chatoivs on occasion, pushing them away, Zach the Shla, Ve'einam Nikroim Chasidim, Kiyim Chaserim. These are not righteous people. These are people who are missing something. Ve'ein Sham Godoy Lema'ay. And the Avera is a terrible one. The guilt that people feel privately drives people in the opposite direction. The Stipler writes in a letter, on the same page here, Chalila lehis'anois nishara keri chas v'shalom. A person who falls to some of these averis shouldn't be mekabel taneisim. Rav Moshe in the Igros Moshe also has a tshuva, he's against this type of tshuva. Taneisim. Ki bemes lo'onsoi ein zechet klal. Guilt is good if it drives you to be better. If a person is guilty and he improves, that's wonderful. But guilt which paralyzes a person is terrible. So what is the Mahalach? How does a person work on this type of thing? Not easy. Very not easy. This year on Shabbos Shuvah, I mentioned a Kabbalah that I made last year. Last year, I wasn't sure, and I didn't mention it, I wasn't sure how much it works. But I had heard from Rav Palm a suggestion to help a person have kavanah in benching, that in Noida Lecha, there are 7 owls in Noida Lecha. Abris Roshat Santav Sereinu, Al Teroshat Matutanu, etc. To physically count them with your finger as you say them. These are ikrim in benching, kol shalayama, bris, v'tayra, and some say eretz in benching, is loyotzi yedei chaybasa. So you count them off as you go, al, bris, al, shal, to count them. And this was one of my kabbalas last year. So this year I suggested it to the people in shul, that it helps a person have kavana at least through a good part of benching. And I mentioned that I was mekabalit last year, and for the first half of the year, I remembered about 10% of the time. Sometimes, I didn't remember by the first owl. I remember in the middle, I was busy owling, and suddenly I realized, I started counting. So slowly with myself, I made like a game. You know, this benching was a 3. I remembered there were 3 owls to go. This benching was a 4 or a 5. Sometimes a benching was a 7. This is what I mentioned. 2-3 days later, I was walking down the block near Shul, and I fell into step with one of our Mispalim. And this is what he told me. He said, you know, I decided that this year I'm not making any Kabbalas. Every year I make Kabbalas and nothing happens. And this year I decided I'm not making any Kabbalas. And then, you said that last year you made a Kabbalah, and you did it for the first half of the year, 10% at a time. So he looks at me, he says, I'm better than you. I did more than 10% at a time. But he was ready to quit, because he wasn't happy with 10% at a time. Isn't it a chizuk to know? The same thing. The guilt and the tzara of chatoim is based on others. So if someone else says 10%, okay, I can do that. That is gevura in keeping to Kabbalas. So I called Dr. Greenwald and I asked him, tell me, how do you work with young men who have these guilt feelings? And he explained to me something which is in the Stipler's letter. He gave me some hadracha in it, but I'll read the Stipler's lashon to you. Tremendous insight into the way human beings are. Oy prat sarach ledas, says the type Stipler. You have to know. Ki asvarim akadoshim herichu ma'oid begoidol hachet hazeh. Upagam shehu paikin. Sometimes svarim write about how terrible a certain aveira is. Avol kitzru ma'oid levayer es atzar hasheni. But they wrote bekitzer, they wrote briefly about the second part, which is crucial. Bizman sheha'odam hu betoikif ta'avosoi. When a person has a desire and he strengthens himself against it, he brings on himself a light of holiness. Awesome. That I can't even describe. And that's what Chazal mean when they talk about Yosef HaTzadik, who knows his Madrega. But Chazal and the Gemara talk about him being Nichshol, in this type of Chet, and Afal Pikein, restraining himself, and because of that, being called Yosef HaTzadik. How do you work on having Kavana in Davening? Of course you're not happy when you don't have Kavana. But Hatzlacha is, when you do have Kavana, and you feel good, and it gives you Kayach, and then, alright, maybe half a year it's 10%. The next half of the year, maybe it'll be 20 or 25%. Because you feel good about it. You feel proud. That's the way to do it. That's the derech in Avodas Hashem. I once actually, true story, a young man came to me. He was at that point married in Kailul. And he came very ashamed. He says, "You have to help me. I'm going crazy." And at that point, I must tell you, he was already on medication for this problem. And he said, "I didn't tell anybody what's making me crazy, but I can't handle it." This is what he said. He said, "I remember many years ago when I was in camp, I was mevayish someone barabim. I was mevayish someone in front of the whole camp. And I was wrong, I did it so everyone should laugh. And I know, kol ha-mevaze p'nei chaveri barabim ein lechelek loylam abo. So here I am, sitting and learning, and I'm in kailul, and I'm davening, and I'm eating kosher, and I'm keeping Shabbos. But ein lechelek loylam abo. I tried to find out, I don't remember the last name of the camper," he tells me, "I only remember the first name. I called people and I can't trace him, I can't ask him for mechila. What's the use? Ein lechelek loylam abo." That's what he tells me. So I asked him, "You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that way? You think so? You think because of that one incident, everything else is worthless? Would you be that way to someone?" He says, "Yeah, but it says..." So he took out the Rambam. And the Rambam brings, "Kol ha-mevaze ein lechelek loylam abo." The Rambam says, "Kol ha-mevaze p'nei chaveiro b'rabim." He says, "Harogil b'kach ein lechelek loylam abo." If it's something you do all the time, you have no chelek in olam haba. It doesn't say if you do it once, you have no chelek in olam haba. Harogil b'ka. What is rogil? I don't know. It means you do it all your life, half your life, I don't know. But you see how a person could be guilty, could feel guilty over one incident, and it could drive him nuts. It's okay to have dirty laundry. Even very dirty laundry. Even mevaze p'nei chaveri b'rabim, chas v'shalom. But even that, it's okay. As long as you set about cleaning your laundry, you'll be fine. People who get feelings of being down, being depressed, feel that is a chayli which they should not have. It's a problem. So it's one thing to have feelings of yush. It's occasional. Feelings of guilt. Okay, you look at someone else. But being depressed is very hard. How does the stipler deal with a person who's depressed? Zok the stipler on page Nun Ches, and this is in the Kreine Degris, a beautiful letter in Chela Gimel, Kuf Lamed Ches. Ani metapel bohem harbe. He says, these people come very often to ask my advice. He says, when I work with them, two things, he says. She is ames etzlam shezo toifas oiveres. They should know it's a passing experience. Vani mesaper lem sheye yedua li mianoshim ke'elu. I met many people who feel down. Shalach hazman chozru la'at la'at. They come back up again. They bounce back up again. You can be down. If they trust me and they believe me, hukla lohem, it becomes easier for them. That's number one. Number two, v'chein ani masber lohem. I explain to people. Kol shebe'emes, kol echad soivol neirois. Every single person suffers mental anguish. There's no person who doesn't at some point have mental anguish. Some people from family members. Some people from neighbors, if you know what I mean. Some people because of poverty. Some people from being embarrassed. Vizem mitzar gidul banim. Everybody feels mental anguish over something. It's normal. So the stipler, I explained to them, it's normal. It's normal, and with time it passes. I once saw an article by Thomas Lewis. He was a doctor. When he got older, wrote a few articles and found that he could make more money as a writer. And that he did very successfully. One of his first articles was The Doctor's Secret. And I hope the doctors here will forgive me for revealing the doctor's secret. He says that most people who come with some type of mechush, something that's bothering them. He says the secret is that most things go away after a day or two by themselves. But the patient doesn't have the patience, right, to wait a day or two. So the doctor says, I think for this, you have to drink a lot of fluids. Drink 6 ounces in the morning and 8 ounces in the afternoon, another 6 ounces at night, and take 2 aspirins in the morning, 2 aspirins at night, do it for 2-3 days, and then call. And what do you know? 2-3 days later, they feel better. He calls that the doctor's secret. For that, of course, they get paid. But that's the doctor's secret. Most things get better. Stipler writes the same thing about most feelings of mental anguish. Most feelings of mental tsar get better with time. And if you give it the time, it'll heal. It'll get better. Incredible how Gedolim looked at feeling down as normal. This summer I saw a tshuva in the Sridei Eish. What is the Gedolei Yisrael? In the beginning of the tshuva, the topic is not nogea to us. But in the beginning he writes, as very often Gedolim do, I excuse myself that it took me so long to respond to your letter. So normally somebody writes, I excuse myself, I couldn't respond, either I was busy or I wasn't well. He writes here, I wasn't well. He says, he was saivel mekoi veinayim. He said, first I had problems with my eyes. V'gam chai b'matzav nefesh al atzvus. And I was also depressed for a while. So I wasn't in the mood to write and to write letters, and now I feel better, I'm writing. He writes like it's a chayli, it's a normal chayli. You know, we say mishabeirach, refuas ha nefesh, refuas ha gof. It's also a chayli. Also normal. What's the message? It's okay. It's alright. It's fine. You can have dirty laundry. You can have these problems. Feelings of yish. Feelings of guilt. Feelings of depression. As long as you do something about it. Recently, there were a series of articles in the Jewish Observer about the dangers of the internet. They brought back to me something that happened 10 years ago. When the internet was relatively new. And today, I'm a Rebbe for a number of years, I picked things up a little more quickly. I failed someone, I didn't pick it up. He was a young man, he was not in my shir, I was then still in Kailo, who I was not even particularly close with, a bit tired. And one day he comes over to me, he wants to talk to me. So he talks to me, he says, you know, you should know the internet is terrible. People get on the internet, you have to warn them. There's a lot of schmutz out there. He said, okay, you know, it's nice of you to tell me, thank you. 2-3 days later, he comes up to me and says, you know, the internet, it's really bad. There's a lot of... He did this over 3-4 weeks. He kept on coming over to me and like telling me to warn people that the internet is terrible. And I don't know, I thought he had this mishigas. Maybe he wanted to develop a friendship with me. It was the only thing he thought he could tell me. I don't know, it was like... Slowly I noticed he started coming to yeshiva less, and then suddenly he disappeared. Stopped coming to yeshiva. I heard that he had a certain problem. It wasn't clear to me. It was like, hush, hush, what was going on? And later I realized he was telling me, you know, the internet, there's a lot of schmutz out there, you know? I said, okay, thanks for telling me. But he knew firsthand. He knew. He was like crying for help. I didn't pick up on it. I don't know where he is today. But it struck me that after the initial bunch of letters about the dangers of the internet, there was subsequently a letter from a Rebbe and an article from another Mechanech with the same point. You can write how terrible it is, write as much as you want. That's all before the Aveira. Once someone has fallen in to these averis, if you're going to push on him how terrible they are, he's going to feel so guilty, he'll never bounce back. He has to understand, like the Shlomo wrote, it's terrible to fall into it. But once you fell into it, it's not all over. There's no avera where it's all over. You have to get up and do the laundry. So how do you do the laundry? The third step of Yirmiyah's Nevuah. First, it's okay. You can have a sweaty gartel and be Yirmiyah. Two, be mefarsein. Let it be known. Number three is the harsh Nevuah. If you bury it, and you just say, let it sit, it's not the way to do it. You have to start to do something about it. As the Stipler writes, you might fall into some type of an avera where you have no choice. But you have to do things that will help. What is the Stipler's advice to people who suffer from the pain of having done averis and feeling guilty about it? It's very interesting. First and foremost, he writes often that the Iker Yeshua is to be able to learn. To sit down and to learn. If somebody learns, learning Torah is the refuah. And he quotes an incredible thing from the Gra regarding that personal avera we talked about earlier, the personal private averas that people have. And Zel Shaino Shel HaGra here on page Pezayin. Tshuva LaHadichshal. A response to somebody who's nichshal in this avera. Kishe'oisik b'teira ain't sarech lidoik klal. If you'll be Isaac in Tyra, he doesn't say, if you're Isaac in Tyra, then you'll start working. No. Kisha Isaac b'Tyra ain't sarech lidoik klal. Then you won't have to worry. Throw yourself into learning, and then you'll do well. Incredible. Tyra is Megan. Tyra protects. Now, 1 minute. Anybody who's a mechanach, people about guilt feelings, knows. You tell them, learn, I can't. A lot of the Torah, that gets them even more depressed. Learn. Me, my learning, what's it worth? What's it chashuv? So the Stipler writes about that as well. And here on page Kuf Aleph, he explains, what do I mean, learn? Learn, what do learn mean? Boilam Abba, language of the Stipler. Einai zaycha l'shleimus ha-Torah. In Olam Haba, mi sheyoda harbe. In Olam Hazeh, a person knows a lot. He's a Talmud Chacham. In Olam Haba, it doesn't depend on yoda harbe, on knowing. Ela mi sheyoga harbe. Person is willing to work. Person willing to put effort. The effort is what lasts for a person. Ki ba'olam ha'elyon, because in the Olam Elyon, upstairs, in Shamayim, Misha Yaga Harbe Kafi Yacholtai, if someone works hard according to his ability, even if he didn't have the heart to know, to understand, he didn't have the background, but Olam Haba B'Mesifta Derekia Yasig HaKoil, not only he'll get Schar, but in Olam Haba Yasig HaKoil means he'll understand. All the Gemaras he worked on and broke his head on, he couldn't understand. He will understand. Suck this type. Incredible. These are some of the eights of the Stipler. There are many more here in the Sefer, but the Ikka Nekuda. You may not be a Baal Bechira for that chait which you feel you can't do anything about. I can't tell you if you are or you're not. It may well be you're not a Baal Bechira. Yehuda with Tamar, you know, you don't find once in any Chazal that Yehuda was punished for this nus with Tamar. No place. Why was Yehuda? He wasn't about Bechira. He had no choice. Why was his Bechira? Afterwards, to say Tzatka Mimeni. Afterwards, if he would have felt guilty and dirty, he wouldn't have said Tzatka Mimeni. We're that way too. Our Bechira very often is not the test itself. It's what follows afterwards. As the stipler says, Masha biyadi ubu Bechira asai. Hutikunim hamayilim b'meshech hazman. Things that help over time. Slowly. The dirty gartel of Yirmiyah. You know what it says about the dirty gartel? Let's look at what the Pasuk tells us about the dirty gartel. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ki kasha yidbak ha'ezer el mosnei ish. As one ties this gartel to his loins. The dirty gartel with the Averis, Hashem says, I wear it tightly, kaviyachal, around myself. I hold it close. But they don't listen. You've got to wash it. You've got to try to clean it. You've got to try to make it better. What a lesson as we begin a year. A lesson of Yirmi, a lesson of Chizuk, of believing in yourself, believing you can make it happen, believing you can make it better, believing that you could do the laundry. What a message. After 10 days of Yontif, I'm sure the ladies appreciate the message. Not terrible to have dirty laundry. Akutavach, everybody.